Like to call to order this regular meeting of the Boulder Valley School District Board of Education for Tuesday, February 17th, 2026. Board members may attend and participate in board meetings electronically in accordance with policy BMEA and state law. Laura, can you please call the roll?
Booker?
Here.
Chavez?
Here.
Medler?
Here.
Quinlan Ueda? Rajpal?
Here.
Temu Adding?
Here.
Unger?
Here.
Thank you.
I'd like everyone to turn their attention to the screens for our land acknowledgement this evening.
El Distrito Escolar del Valle de Boulder reside y opera en tierras que son tierras ancestrales natales, injusta e ilegalmente arrebatadas del territorio de los pueblos Ute, Puebloan, Arapaho, Cheyenne, Apache, Navajo y otras 48 naciones tribales históricamente asociadas a estas tierras y que han llamado a estas tierras como su hogar desde tiempos inmemoriales. Reconocemos las atrocidades realizadas aquí, incluyendo la dolorosa historia de genocidio, la asimilación forzada y los esfuerzos para alienar a los habitantes indígenas de sus tierras con el apoyo de las políticas del gobierno de los Estados Unidos. El BVSD es consciente de los muchos pueblos indígenas en el pasado y en el presente, y sus naciones y culturas dignas que cuidan la tierra con fuerza y resistencia. El BVSD reconoce las historias de la tierra en Colorado y la supervivencia de las muchas naciones que han llevado sus tradiciones orales hasta el presente. Es la responsabilidad del BVSD de educarnos a nuestras comunidades y a nuestros estudiantes para que podamos celebrar y respetar la sabiduría y el conocimiento de los pueblos indígenas y unirnos activamente para abordar las injusticias. Al ofrecer este reconocimiento de la tierra, afirmamos y honramos la historia, la sabiduría, las tradiciones orales y resiliencia de los pueblos indígenas y reconocemos la responsabilidad de cuidar y apreciar esta tierra juntos.
Like to remind everybody that the mission of the Boulder Valley School District is to create challenging, meaningful, and engaging learning opportunities so that all children thrive and are prepared for successful, civically engaged lives. Good evening, everyone. Thank you for joining us here tonight, in person or remotely. We're glad to have you observe and participate in our meetings. At this time, is there a motion to approve tonight's agenda? Moved by Anna, seconded by Jorge. Laura, can you please call that motion?
Booker?
Yes.
Chavez?
Yes.
Medler?
Yes.
Rajpal?
Yes.
Temu Adding?
Yes.
Unger?
Yes.
Motion passes.
The next item on our agenda this evening is the superintendent's report. Dr. Anderson, good evening.
Good evening, Board President Rajpal, board members. Great to see everyone. I have a few remarks for everyone this evening. So, board members, as you know, Dr. De La Cruz and I, along with you, have been visiting schools. We visited 10 elementary schools so far as part of our elementary roundtables. As you know, this is the first step in our engagement process around declining enrollment and how we build resilient schools that can face today's challenges. As you might imagine, many of our educators are passionate about their school. But some things it's understandable given how amazing each and every BVSD school is. Is that Mesa? That's Mesa. Yep, this is our first one up here. This is Mesa. Many with the teachers we've spoken with up to this point have shared that they're really beginning to feel the impact of shrinking schools. I think that we hear a general understanding and a support for what we're trying to do. And I think teachers are being thoughtful to share with us what's important to them. It's important that we protect quality education for our students by ensuring through whatever we do that we build the resources that kids and teachers need, from full-time school administrators, counselors, specialists, interventionists. We are definitely hearing that we're on the right track in terms of needing to do something. We're going to continue these roundtables while also preparing for our bigger regional engagement sessions, which will be following spring break. There'll be more information to come on our declining enrollment plan. Board members, as you know, we've got some very talented artists here in BVSD. All you have to do is walk down the hall here at the Ed Center to get a glimpse of their outstanding work. Every year, our art teachers from across the district select artwork to be displayed at the Ed Center, and last week, the installation was completed, and we welcomed all the featured students and their families here to celebrate during a special reception last Tuesday, I believe. Joy was palpable as they showed off their work. It's always nice to see students at every level in our hallways and get to congratulate them and their families. And so I know many of you were able to do that last week. But an amazing job both to our art educators and our student artists. Sticking with the art theme, many of our secondary artists received Scholastic's Art Awards recently. We had 25 artists qualify for Gold Key Awards, which is the top 5% in state, and 15 qualified for the Silver Key Awards, which is in the top 10% in the state, not to mention the 39 students who also received honorable mentions. Gold Key winners are now advancing to the national competition. Artwork will be on display at the Denver Art Museum and 40 West Gallery throughout March. Second, way to go, artists. And then moving on to music, we'd like to congratulate our students who were selected to our All-State Music Groups. Over the past few weeks, we were well represented with 89 students performing in the Colorado All-State Choir, Jazz Choir, Jazz Band, Orchestra, and Middle School Choir. We're proud to have such great talent in BVSD. And that's all for my remarks this evening.
Thank you, Dr. Anderson. Board members, any questions or comments? Seeing as there are none, we'll move on to public participation. The board respects the rights of the public to speak on matters concerning the operation of our schools. The board does not endorse the comments of individual participants and reminds all those who speak that you're responsible for ensuring your marks are suitable for an audience that includes kindergartners through 12th graders. Furthermore, this is an opportunity for the board to hear from our constituents. It's not time for the board to engage with our speakers. Speakers will each have 2 minutes to speak. You'll see a yellow card when you have 30 seconds remaining and an orange card when you have 10 seconds remaining. If you run out of time or would like to share additional information, you may always email the Board of Education. With that, our first speaker this evening is Elliot Hood.
Good evening. My name is Elliot Hood, and I'm here to comment on the renewal application for Horizons K-8. I'm a former public school teacher, and I'm an education attorney that represents school districts across the state, and I'm an elected member of the University of Colorado's Board of Regents. But most importantly, I am a proud BVSD parent and an enthusiastic booster for Horizons, which has been a phenomenal school for our family and countless other families in our community. There are so many things that I love about Horizons. It's teacher-led, and many of the educators at Horizons have been there for decades, like my child's teacher who's here tonight. The teachers we have had at Horizons are truly exceptional at what they do, and the kids love them. The educational environment is both rigorous and collaborative, helping students become self-directed learners who really care for each other and take ownership over their education. There is a ton of experiential and project-based learning opportunities, which keeps kids engaged and invested. Classes have combined grade levels, which allows kids to grow at their own pace, reduces transition anxiety, encourages mentorship, and fosters social connection among students. And the community is extremely welcoming and draws from a diverse group of families from across the district and beyond. The thing that I love the most, though, is the fact that my child loves his school and he looks forward to learning every day. We are so fortunate as parents to be able to say that. And I know that this sentiment is shared broadly in our school community. Thank you for the opportunity to give comment tonight, and I strongly encourage you to approve Horizon's renewal application. Thank you.
Thank you. Our second speaker this evening is Crystal Chin.
Good evening. My name is Crystal Chin, and I'm a BVSD parent. Last week, I placed my family's experience on the public record and requested independent oversight, including independent investigation and independent data collection and analysis. Since that meeting, additional families have reached out, describing similar experiences. Many want to speak, but they are afraid of retaliation. Tonight, we are placing one anonymous parent statement into the record. Due to the recent change in public comment policy regarding donated time, another parent will read this statement on the family's behalf. This is not about one school or one employee. It reflects a broader pattern families are experiencing when serious safety concerns are raised. After tonight, we are formally requesting that this board publicly indicate at its February 24th meeting whether it will place the question of independent oversight, including independent investigation and independent data collection and analysis for matters involving student safety and harm on a future public agenda. I will now turn it over for the anonymous statement.
Our final speaker this evening is Tekla Ayers.
Good evening. My name's Tekla Ayers. I am a former BVSD parent, and I'm here reading an anonymous statement from a BVSD parent who fears retaliation. I am a BVSD parent speaking anonymously because my child is still in this district and is afraid of retaliation. Last school year, our child in high school was physically harmed by a trusted BVSD staff member. Other students were present and witnessed what happened. Despite reports to administration, this staff member remains employed, and our family was given no clear indication that meaningful accountability occurred. I immediately reported what happened to school administration and escalated my concerns beyond the school because I believe this crossed a line and put students at risk. Despite that, no visible action was taken that gave our family confidence that students would be protected. My child ultimately stepped away when it became clear the environment had not changed, not because they failed, but because they realized the environment felt unsafe. It is heartbreaking that an adult's behavior, not a child's ability, ended this opportunity for them. I'm not asking for punishment of any individual tonight. I am asking for systems that protect students and take family concerns seriously. When parents raise concerns about student safety, we should not be left wondering whether anything was actually done behind closed doors. We should not have to choose between speaking up and protecting our children. I support independent oversight, including independent investigation and independent data collection and analysis. So incidents like this are reviewed objectively, transparently, and without conflicts of interest. Thank you.
Thank you. This concludes today's public participation. On behalf of the board, I'd like to thank everyone who took the time to be here tonight to share your comments with us this evening. Next item on tonight's agenda is board communication. Board members, does anybody have anything they would like to share? Alex?
I just wanted to give a shout out to the DAC. Last week, they hosted a meeting with Great Education Colorado to talk about the various financial efforts that are underway with potential ballot measures to deal with Tabor and with the income tax in the state in order to try to improve school finance. So hats off to Allie Brown and the folks at the DAC for inviting in some folks to provide more information for us. Wasn't very well attended, but I still think that kind of information is great to get out there. And the more the people in our community understand how inadequate public finances in Colorado, the better, because those are the kinds of things that affect our kids and our ability to do everything we want to do.
I just want to share, I know our staff are going to be meeting with different municipalities to talk about declining enrollment and the process there. And as there have been some social media posts encouraging people to email the board with their thoughts on that. And as a reminder, we will have a thorough community engagement process coming up after spring break. And right now we're really listening. There's not decisions that were being made. So emailing the board was always an opportunity, and you're welcome to do so. We don't have a lot to comment on at this point. So I really encourage folks to use the community engagement process to the extent practicable. I think that you'll find that much more fulfilling than sending us an email and getting my response. But that's all I have today. The next item on today's agenda is information. We only have one topic this evening, which is the legislative update. There are a bunch of bills that I saw dropped related to education. I haven't had the time to go through. I know Alex emailed about one of them. But Dr. Anderson, do you have any updates at this time?
Nothing much. I do. It's that time of the year, right, where folks are starting to drop different bills, many of which will die. So especially given this year's context. And so nothing necessarily new to report.
Great. Well, then the next item on tonight's agenda is an executive session. Is there a motion, Anna?
I, Anna Temu Aring, make a motion pursuant to Colorado Revised Statute 24-6-402-4B to convene into executive session to discuss legal issues and advice related to charter school renewals for Horizons, Summit, and Boulder Prep.
Is there a second? Seconded by Jason. Laura, do you want to call the roll on that one?
Uecker?
Yes.
Chavez?
Yes.
Medler?
Yes.
Quinlan Ueda? Rajpal?
Yes.
Temu Aring?
Yes.
Unger?
Yes.
Motion passes.
Board members, we will convene in the Glacier Room. Welcome back, everybody. Calling this meeting back to order, the next item on the agenda tonight are action items consent grouping. 8.1, personnel items. 8.2, approval of minutes, February 10th, 2026. 8.3, acceptance of donation, Metallurg School. 8.4, acceptance of donation, New Vista High School. 8.5, approval of contract with Digital Scoreboards, LLC. 8.6, authorization to transfer to IT network infrastructure refresh project. 8.7, community bond oversight committee update. 8.8, grant strategic partnerships, 21st Century Community Learning Centers, CDE. 8.9, grant student support services, attendance and engagement, Boulder County. Are there any items board members would like to pull from consent grouping? Hearing none, we need a motion to approve the items on consent grouping. Moved by Jorge, seconded by Anna. Board members, any discussion on these items? Hearing none, Laura, can you please call the roll on consent grouping?
For the record, I'm going to add Lelania into the roll call as she has joined the Google Meet.
Thank you.
Booker?
Yes.
Chavez?
Yes.
Medler?
Yes.
Quinlan Ueda?
Are you muted?
Are you muted?
She's having some technical difficulties with the audio. You want to try one more time, Lelania? We're not able to hear you. Does she have visual?
Can you give a thumbs up? That looks like a thumbs up. Thank you. Rajpal?
Yes.
Temuading?
Yes.
Unger?
Yes.
Motion passes.
Moving on now to the action items portion of our tonight's agenda. We have the Horizons Charter School renewal application. Is there a motion? Deanne?
I, Deanne Booker, make a motion to adopt Resolution 26-06, approving the Horizons Charter School renewal application.
Is there a second? Seconded by Anna. Board members, any discussion? See, Alex?
Yeah, I would just like to recognize that Horizon K-8 has been a part of our community for a very long time, and it has been dear to many of our families and is a great piece of the offerings that we have that provides choice to our families. And I'm excited by the procedure this board has gone through as we've updated our policies to have a more standard renewal process with an application process, site visit, and report from the staff that involves quite a bit of work. And going back and forth with the school. So I'm glad to see our process move forward. And just by way of background, I also want to say that when renewal is, for a school like this is absolutely not an existential challenge. Like, this is a school we want serving our community and doing great stuff. And the renewal is a process by which our board, because we have a relationship with your board of the school, to reset, figure out where we're moving next, what it is we'd like to do together and how we can support you, what you need from us, and that goes on through the contracting negotiation process. So I'm glad to see the district enhance its capacity to really come in as a good partner in that process. And I look forward to more dialogue about it as we move forward. But I'm happy to have this school continue being part of our community.
Seeing as there are no other comments, Laura, can you please call the vote on the motion?
Booker?
Yes.
Chavez?
Yes.
Medler?
Yes.
Quinlan Ueda? That looks like a thumbs up. Rajpal?
Yes.
Temuading?
Yes.
Unger?
Yes.
Motion passes.
Next, we have the Summit Charter School renewal application. Do I have a motion? Alex?
Medler, make a motion to adopt Resolution 2607, approving the Summit Charter School renewal application.
Do we have a second? Seconded by Jason. Board members, any discussion on this renewal? Alex?
Similar to Horizon, I would like to add for Summit that I've been in this community since Summit was moved forward and approved. And again, it's another powerful institution in our community. It's been serving our families for decades. Its record of achievement is off the charts, frankly, in terms of achievement. Families have really come to know and trust it, and it serves many children as well. I also believe strongly that it's great that many of our charter schools are expanding their ability to serve all the children in our community. And Summit deserves kudos for its ability to increase its enrollment of children from low-income families. And I think that enrollment preference has helped, which is why I'm eager to see them get the rest of their enrollment processes aligned with our district's policies for enrollment. And I'm also gratified to see their increased enrollment of students with disabilities reported by our staff and their data. I do believe, frankly, and this is one of the things I'm glad to see in the resolution, continued attention to the issue of how we can help Summit more successfully serve all the children in our community. And I think its levels of students with disabilities is still quite low at just over 4% compared to 14% for the district. And that I'd also like to see the range of disabilities that are served at the school expanded to represent the range of disabilities that our community has. And I think a school that performs this off the charts can be effective at serving all our kids well. And that it's incumbent on us as a district. We are the LEA for special ed purposes. We do have a relationship with all our charters and how that's worked out. And I look forward to figuring out how to help, and from my role as a board member, influencing the district to partner well with that as we move forward to help Summit, like all our charter schools, really do well by all our kids in our community. And I look forward to another 5 years of great contributions to our community of schools.
Seeing that there's no further discussion, Laura, can you please call the vote on the motion?
Booker?
Yes.
Chavez?
Yes.
Medler?
Yes.
Quinlan Ueda? Thumbs up. Rajpal?
Yes.
Temu Adding?
Yes.
Unger?
Yes.
Motion passes.
Our final action item tonight is a request for board review under policy KE and KER. Do we have a motion? Jorge.
I, Jorge Chavez, make a motion to deny review of the complaint filed as described in this board agenda item 9.4 on February 17, 2026.
Do I have a second? Jason, board members, any discussion on this item? Seeing as there are none, Laura, can you please call a vote on the motion?
Booker?
Yes.
Chavez?
Yes.
Medler?
Yes.
Quinlan Ueda? Thumbs up. Rajpal?
Yes.
Temu Adding?
Yes.
Unger?
Yes.
Motion passes.
Moving on to policy action items consent grouping. 10.1, board policy DLB salary deductions. 10.2, board policy DLB-R salary deductions regulation. 10.3, board policy DFA cash management investment policy. 10.4, board policy DFB revenues from licensing and school facilities. Are there any items board members would like to pull from consent grouping? Hearing none, we need a motion to approve items in the consent grouping list. Moved by Jorge, seconded by Jason. Board members, any discussion on these policies? Hearing none, Laura, can you please call a vote on consent grouping?
Booker?
Yes.
Chavez?
Yes.
Medler?
Yes.
Quinlan Ueda? Thumbs up. Rajpal?
Yes.
Temu Adding?
Yes.
Unger?
Yes.
Motion passes.
We are now moving into the policy study items of tonight's agenda. We have few policies to study this evening in our D chapter, and just the D chapter. I'll turn it over to Kathleen for review of those. E chapter and D chapter. Sorry. I'll turn it over to Kathleen.
Thank you, Board President Rajpal. We do have those first two policies on the board's agenda are items that the board addressed at its most recent meeting. But as we looked at them again, there were a few technical things we needed to correct. So looking at DLA, we do pay by direct deposit now. It's actually incredibly expensive to reprint checks, and it's surprising how often that is requested. So we updated the language. If we move past direct deposit or we want to use something else, we need that broader language that references another appropriate financial instrument. So that is item 12.1. Looking then at 12.2, oh, I'm sorry, this is a new one. This is the one that wasn't ready for the board's most recent meeting, but it reflects some changes that have been made in the D policies that you already adopted. This is around employee expense reimbursements. And I'm anticipating the question of, do we have to have this policy? Is it legally required by law? It is not, but it actually is a very important area where we need to provide some guidance and direction to our staff to make sure that we protect the public fisc. So those are additional recommendations that were made by our financial department.
Board members, any questions or comments on the first two D policies? Guess not.
Okay, then we will start with the E policies. The E chapter is really an operational chapter. The first cut of policies that we're going to look at are these that are related to primarily to transportation, although that first one is a little different. So as we often do, you will find that you're going to consolidate a bunch of these policies, and I will talk about those. And we will be left with, or the proposal is, we would be left with five E policies related to transportation, and we would be retiring out of what you're reviewing eight of those policies. So looking at them individually, 12.3 is EBCB about fire drills. Hadn't been touched since 78, and a lot has happened in this area. It is all addressed in your board policy ADD, which pertains to safe schools planning. So our proposal is that this be retired, where it just sort of randomly sits in the E policy, and we use ADD as our primary driver around issues of school safety. The next policy then, 12.4, this is really going to be the board's umbrella policy around student transportation. So there is some language that's reorganized or pulled over from some of the policies that we intend to retire. This policy was adopted even prior to my birth, which I know is hard to believe. It was revised in 78 and hadn't been touched since. Thanks to Rob Price and to Brendan Sullivan, our Executive Director for Transportation, for their amazing insights and willingness to really reduce this policy to be the essentials of what we need and not a whole lot more.
I have a question. On EEA-R, one sentence is retained. Are we really retaining that one sentence, or is that just not stricken?
It is incorporated into a different policy. So that was a note for myself to remember to include it elsewhere, which I did. So this policy is proposed completely for retirement.
Great. Thank you for clarifying. Board members, any other questions on those policies? Alex?
Is there any substantive change in who gets to walk and who gets to ride based on these changes?
The red lines do not propose any substantive changes to that element of board policy.
So no family would have a different
no
experience based on this in action.
They would not. Hopefully, they would have a different policy reading experience in that it would all be in one place and might make sense. That's what we're aiming for. Yeah.
That is the perfect aim for our policy.
Any other questions on those, on 12.3 or 12.4, board members? Moving right along to 12.5.
So 12.5, board member Medler, is exactly the policy that you asked about. This policy looks like we're making a lot of changes, but it really was just reorganizing and eliminating some redundancy. We had those walk and ride ranges in two places in a 1.5-page policy. Didn't seem to be necessary to do that. So I just moved the language about the board's general expectation around walkers and riders to the beginning. All of the other language, how we measure, how we establish, is exactly the same as it was in policy previously. The only other substantive change, and it really isn't, it's just a language change, is to take the appeal language out of this policy and just reference the board's existing KE policy, which is our general complaint.
Any questions on that policy, EEAA? Thank you for your work on that one.
So the next item, 12.6, that has to do with scheduling and routing, the language from this policy that's important in terms of not establishing a route on a dangerous right-of-way or any of that language has been moved into EEA. So this policy is proposed for retirement. The same thing is true with item 12.7, school bus safety program. Your umbrella policy, EEA, establishes the expectation that there be a comprehensive transportation safety program, and it specifically retains the requirements that were listed in this policy in EEA. So requirements for bus evacuation drills, making sure that everybody knows what they're supposed to be doing, vehicle maintenance, all of those are detailed in EEA. Looking next then at 12.8 EEAD, special use of school buses. Another oldie and not a goodie. It's from before 1969. I don't know what was happening in 69, but it doesn't matter because that's not what it looks like now. So we're proposing this policy for retirement, which probably raises a question for you about why we would then have board policy EEADA. And I did not create any of these letters. These are the letters that were assigned. We actually are required by Colorado law to have a board policy that addresses the use of school vehicles by community groups, and it requires that policy to specifically address community groups of senior citizens. So that language is not mine. That language is really there in the CASB sample to make sure that we capture the requirements of state law. I did retain the language that's in the accompanying regulation that requires any group to pay the full cost of their use, prevents us from sending groups of senior citizens into dangerous conditions in our buses, and just making sure that there's adequate insurance coverage.
Lelania.
Oh, is it in a chat?
Oh, can you say it in the mic so I can hear you? Thank you.
So Lelania's question was, do we ever have senior citizens use buses?
Candidly, the pressure on our transportation department is pretty extensive, just meeting our student needs, as this board knows. finding drivers and buses and capacity to meet those student needs is such a challenge that we don't have recent community use of senior citizens going to things. We certainly do see our buses and our drivers perform really incredible feats when this community needs them. I think about the Marshall Fire. I will never forget the video I watched that a driver drove into to help our community in one of our buses. So whether or not this regulation specifically references being there for our community in times of emergency, that is a place that you can count on BVSD showing up. So we are proposing then to retire EEADA-R back to the community group issue. For item, oh, sorry,
go I have ahead. One question. Is that the same code that they use in the CASB example?
It is.
Oh, okay.
And that's really the reason that I don't go back in and propose that we re-letter policies. It gets very hard to track them if we change the letter references. And we also do try to use the CASB reference system because it's based on the National School Boards Association's reference system. And it does help community members find our policies because they know where it exists in their current district or other district. So the proposal at this point is not to re-letter.
No, I think that's great. And there are some policies I know that the past boards had re-lettered, and it does get it confusing. So whenever possible, reverting back to the CASB lettering on our policies, I think, is great practice.
Okay, sounds great. The next item is 12.10 EEACC. This has to do with student conduct on school buses. The BVSD board really overhauled our student conduct and discipline policies in 2020. And this policy could have been retired at that point because we do make clear in those policies that student conduct is student conduct, and we expect it to be addressed by the school in coordination with our transportation employees to make sure that we have that consistency of practice around discipline. So that policy is also proposed for retirement. So getting down then to our very last two, we have item 12.12, which is EEA, EAA, and bingo has an AMO, controlled substance and alcohol testing. We are required by law to have this policy. And this language, I really did not substantially change because it was really fine as it's written. The only real update is to those legal references. So on page 2, the board will see that there are some updated legal references. The amazing Laura Schaefer tells me that I skipped an item. What did I skip? 12.11. Oh, 12.11. EEAE, student transportation in private vehicles. So this is an interesting policy. It had been updated in 94, and this is why one of the reasons I really appreciate the review process that Chris Brecht helps me with, because we got feedback from our schools that this particular policy is really critical to some of our groups. When you think about plat choice, the amount of trips that they take and some of our smaller number of trips, we do have a reason to maintain this policy. But we have tried to simplify, straight line, and clarify what the requirements are when it can be used.
So I'm going to read Lelania's question. Mine is related. Lelania is asking, private vehicles in practice, are folks getting forms from the principal to use these? And mine is related, given the transportation challenges, particularly for sporting events, there is a lot of private vehicle transportation, and is this something we expect of people? Are people aware? Is this just for employees? Is it like how I'm trying to understand this policy a little bit better?
My understanding as to how this policy is actually implemented is that when we have a school event, that we would provide the transportation for a field trip, That's my best example, honestly, field trips, because it's a school event. The whole way that we go to the field trip and come back, it has not, I don't believe, been read to apply to things like high school athletics where kids are working out their own transportation.
I think from my experience, these things happen actually quite frequently with really small groups. So you might have two kids that are participating in the spelling bee, and to order a bus would take your entire spelling bee budget for the year. So you'd get a parent to be the driver, or even the teacher becomes the driver for those kids, but it's usually really tiny, tiny groups of people.
And they are going through the full process. So our principals in schools work with our team in HR to just go through, make sure that the background checks have been accomplished, that insurance requirements have been verified. There is a form that is an exhibit to board policy that goes with this. I didn't try to redline the form before the board gave direction around what you'd like to see in the policy. But I do recommend, of course, that we make sure all our forms are updated to implement this policy. I also hear that it would be helpful to explain when this is required and where it would not apply.
I think that'd be exceedingly helpful. I mean, we used to provide buses for all the sporting events, but I mean, me myself, I imagine Lelania is in the same boat, the number of times we've helped carpool people to tennis matches or swim meets or places within the district that this we do not provide transportation. Like, it feels a little bit gray the way the policy is written, so some clarity there would be exceedingly helpful. Anything else, Lelania? I was hoping I captured what you were typing on this chat.
I have one more suggestion that won't be popular. In my private school, when we do this, there's always two adults and one child. So there's never one adult, one child in a car going off by themselves to keep the child safe. I think that's actually a pretty good policy to make sure everybody feels like this is going to be a safe and productive time.
Yeah, that'd be aligned with safe sport practices. Is that also the case if it's just one student or if it's multiple students?
If it's one student, you would never have,
a student.
Teacher or an adult and a student alone in a car together.
Yeah. Never one-to-one.
Yeah.
Great. Any other questions or comments on this policy, board members? And Elena says she's all good. Alex?
Do we ever need to define vehicles as having four wheels in the world of electronic everything else out there?
Well, now that you said it, definitely. We don't want motorcycles or e-bikes probably being used in this capacity.
The one-on-one thing won't work either.
Okay, and then the final, if we're ready, board, I'm sorry. Yeah,
do we want to go back to 12.12 since we kind of started and then reverted? Or do we want to finish discussing 12.12?
Absolutely.
Great. Board members, any questions on that one? I didn't ask for questions, I don't think, before we went back to a 12.11. None. Okay, 12.13.
So this regulation is about the use of warehouse vehicles. We don't have a need to be this specific about delivery trucks or warehouse vehicles. They understand how they operate. So this is proposed for retirement.
Any questions or comments, board members? Seeing as there are none, I just want to say thank you to Kathleen and Chris and everybody for helping winnow this chapter down. There's a lot of policies that are old that are not relevant. And I was just even thinking today during our charter, as I was evaluating the charters, we ask our charter schools to have replacement policies for a lot of our policies, and even updating which ones we have in place. I mean, having fewer policies is going to make life easier for the board, for our partners that are charter schools, for everybody. So this isn't always the most exciting work, but it's important, and it's going to, I think, pay off in dividends moving forward. So thanks to the team for keeping us on track with this. Okay, final agenda item tonight, board members. It is future agenda requests. Are there any items board members would like to add to our list for future items to be prioritized? Alex.
Thank you. I've been really enjoying the development of our charter process and policies. I think this is another year to learn from, and that I would like to revisit policy LBD and see if we can continue to update it. The charter school policy, is it LBD?
Yes,
it is. LBD and LBDR, yeah, both.
Thanks, Alex. Anybody else? Well, with that, our business for tonight is concluded. Meeting is adjourned.